Okay. Okay, back to base. We are in Pasuk Chaf. I'm sorry. Thank you. Perakhaf. Pasuk Aleph of Perakhaf. So if you remember, Perak Yotes, so we've basically, we're done with the rebellion of Avshalom. Avshalom was killed, much to David's dismay. And David grieved and mourned Avshalom's death, which we read about last week. And at the very end of the Perek, we have this art and dispute between Shevet Yehuda, who historically has always been very loyal, and the other 10 Shvatim, who have not always been so loyal to David HaMelech. So they got into this heated exchange to who was really loyal to David, and who should really go first. How come you didn't call us first? Why did we go first? And they got into a little bit of a heated exchange. And we saw one of the Mefarshim, it slips my mind at the moment who it was, but one of the Mefarshim who said at the end of the Perek that because of that machlokas, that's what laid the seeds, so to speak, of this next rebellion, which we're going to learn about this week in Perek Chaf of Sheva ben Bichri. That was the end of the Perek last week. Okay, Perek Yotes. Now Perek Chaf. Just when we thought the rebellion was over and everything can go back to David being the one and only king of Bnei Israel with some level of unity, no. V'sham nikra ish b'lial u'shmo sheva ben bichri ish yemini. And there, the pasuk says v'sham, there. What's there? There means right in the heat of the dispute. Going back to that machlokas that we had in Perek Yotes, v'sham, there at that machlokas, says the Metzudas David, that's where we chance upon, nikra, we chance, like nikra, we chance upon this fellow, a no-goodnik, right? Ish Belial, he's not a good person. Ushmo Sheva ben Bichri, that's his name. Ish Yemini, he's from the Shevet Binyamin. No coincidence that he's from the Shevet Binyamin. I saw on the bottom of the art scroll, he quotes, I think, from the Mari Kara, who explains that although Shevet Binyamin did come around, and we saw in the last Perek Yotes, that even Shimi Ben Gera, who was from Shevet Binyamin, came around and asked them for Mechila, brought 1,000 men from, they did come around, but at the same time, and disagreements between Shevet Binyamin and David HaMelech. Shevet Binyamin still had the legacy of Shaul, right, in their rearview mirror. They hadn't forgotten about Shaul. They hadn't forgotten about the house of Shaul and the fact that he was the king. And now this other guy, David, from different Shevets, is the king. Although they may have, at face value, accepted him, there was still something simmering beneath the surface, and all it took was a little spark to ignite that, flame. Vayiska b'shofar. Sheva ben Bichri blows the shofar, which is a signal, says the Metzudas David. Chelek b'David. He declares, we have no chelek, we have no portion. In David, we're not interested. Velo nachal olonu b'ven Yishai. And we have no inheritance to the son of Yishai. Ish la'ohalav Yisrael. Yisrael, every man go back to your tent. Every man go back to your tent. Now, the Malbim says that he had two arguments here. Ein la'o chelek b'david, v'lo nachal olonu b'ven Yishai. What were these two arguments? Number one, if you're focusing on the fact that he's David, right? He's only related to a Shevet, which is Shevet Yehuda. So you, all of you, from non-Shevet Yehuda, the other 10 Shvatim and Binyamin, 11 Shvatim really, you don't have a chelek in David. David is more loyal to Shevet Yehuda. In fact, some of Farshim say that because David did not really defend the 10 Shvatim in last Perek, some thought that that was a little bit of an implicit, support of Shevet Yehuda, that he was really just loyal to Shevet Yehuda. So now all you other people from the other 11 Shvatim says, Sheva ben Bichri, you have no chelek in David. He's an Ish Yehuda. And if you're focusing on the fact that he's king, and maybe he's got some sort of a nachala, some sort of an inheritance that he's the king? Come on. Who is his father? It's not like he's a melech ben melech. It's not like there's some sort of dynasty here, right? Lahavdil, the Queen Elizabeth died, goes to her son. There's another son. There's a dynasty. There's no dynasty here. Who is he? Ben Yishai. Like a derogatory way of calling him by his father's name. Ben Yishai. Who is Yishai? He's a simple person. He was a commoner. He was a shepherd. He was nothing special. There's no king. There's no melech ben melech here. There's no inheritance. There's no nachla here. Ish le'olav, every man go back to your house. Don't follow David. We're not interested. We're not interested. Some of the Mefarshim say also that this was, if you look, there's a Kri, like a Kri and a Ksiv kind of. It's written one way, and it's it can be read another way. We have Ish le'olav, right? If you look, just look in the Navi. In this perek, so I'm sorry, inside the Navi doesn't really say it actually, but some of the Mefarshim say that it's a tikkun sofrin, and really part of his intention was ish leilo hav. It was also a little bit of a rebellion that every man should go to his God. He was also denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because listen, if you're denying the Mashiach Hashem, David was anointed by Hashem, so that's also an implicit rebellion. He wasn't just rebelling against David, but he is rebelling in a sense against Hashem as well. we're on the way to Yerushalayim. We're not in Yerushalayim yet. Oh, from last week. Yeah. Yeah, Barzillai, Rabbi Barzillai Agilot. Yeah. Yes, right, exactly. Yes. True, that's true. Shaul did not come from Malchus, but you know, but he was just saying with it. So yeah, so what's so special about David? Right? Again, he's not claiming. We don't find him claiming, at least not explicitly, that the Malchus really belongs to Shaul and his family. He doesn't say that. He just says, so "Who's this guy? We don't need him. He's nothing special." Now, could be Shaul is other than nothing special, but we don't have to pledge allegiance to him. Right? He's nothing. He's nothing to write home about.
For what purpose? I mean, you don't see that anywhere.
Yeah. Mitzudas David says it was a sign of rebellion. I guess to get everybody's attention. You know? When you coronate the king. Could be. Could be. There's a whole list of places when they used to blow. We blow shofar when we coronate the king.
But that's we blew the shofar, so why would he be coronating
the king? Who? Shem ben Michri. So according to Rashi, we'll see he wanted to be the king himself. Okay. Right? Now, according to some, he wasn't interested in being the king. He just wanted to, like, you know, he just wanted to rebel and make some chaos. But according to Rashi, Rashi says explicitly he wanted to be the king. Right. So again, some of the Mefarshim said that this was a result of the machlokas and last parak. Machlokas breeds machlokas. Right? Between Shevet Yehuda and Shevet and the Ten Shvatim. And David maybe was punished, maybe for not, you know, dealing with that machlokas properly. He didn't do anything about it. He kind of let them fight. Okay, Pasuk Beis. Vayal kol ish Yisrael me'acharei David, acharei Shevet ben Bichri. And that's what happened. All of the Jewish people, right? It's a broad language here. Kol ish Yisrael. All the Jewish people left David, stopped following David, and went to follow and to support Sheva ben Bichri. Yehuda davka b'malkam in Ayard in Yad Yerushalayim. But the people of Yehuda stuck with him, as they always do. They stuck with David, and they're now traveling with him from the Yarden to Yerushalayim. Now you see how easy it is for Bnei Yisrael to just switch allegiances, right? Because a minute ago, they were following Avshalom. Avshalom's dead. All right, I guess we'll follow David. Now somebody else came into the reign, right, to declare his independence and his rebellion. All right, let's follow them, right? So there's no clear allegiance here to the most of Bnei Yisrael, to David HaMelech. Pasuk Gimel. Very interesting pasuk here. Vayavo David el Beiso Yerushalayim. David comes to his back to his palace in Yerushalayim. Vayikach HaMelech, what's the first thing he does? Vayikach HaMelech es Esther Nashim Pilakshim Asher Hinyach Lishmur Abayis. He takes, remember the 10 Pilakshim that he left. When he left Yerushalayim, he left these 10 Pilakshim to guard the house. We know what happened to these 10 Pilakshim. Unfortunately, Avshalom came and slept with all of them. That was his sign of rebellion against his father, David. So he takes these 10 women and he puts them up in a place, in a house, where they can be guarded and protected and taken care of. He provides them with support, with food and clothing, whatever they need. However, but he stopped having relations with them, right? They were his pilakshim. He stopped having relations with them. Why? Doesn't say. But we'll see in a minute. And they ended up being like almanos, living almanos for the rest of their lives. Well, what does that mean, living almanos? Their husband's alive. David's still alive. But he wouldn't sleep with them. He wouldn't have anything to do with them. Right? He supported them. He didn't abandon them. He supported them, gave them whatever they needed. They had a shelter. They had food. They had clothing. They had everything they needed. But they didn't have a husband. Right? They didn't have a husband. Why? Why did he do this? Why did he do this? So, yes. Pilegesh, there's no ksuba. No, right. There's no chiyuv. I don't think there's a chiyuv ona. Pilegesh. I don't think so. Again, it was like a relationship, right? It wasn't just a haphazard thing. It was a real relationship, but it wasn't ksuba v'kiddushin like a wife. Now, so why did this happen? So the Radak and Malbim and other mafarshim here quote a machlokes in Chazal. I think it's in the Yerushalmi, as to what exactly was the issue. What was his problem, right? Why didn't he sleep with these ladies? Yeah. Yeah. Well, why didn't David sleep with these women? Why did he stop sleeping with them? So the Chazal said two things. Oh. No, not because of Shem. What? Well, maybe related to that.
Well, when he left, he made them to guard the palace.
Right.
Less workers.
Okay. I hear. What if he would take them back? He would what? Okay. Yeah. Perpetuating Avshalom's sin. Okay. Okay.
Originally, with the son, with Shlomo's mother, when he went out to battle, he sent the.
What, Uriah?
Yeah.
And Bathsheba?
Yeah. Something similar to that story.
Yeah. Okay, right, not exactly the same, because there she was Uriah's wife. He gave her a get and things like that, so that doesn't really apply here. But so it's interesting. Chazal say two things here, two different approaches. First of all, they were definitely mutaros to him. There was no isser here, right? This was a self-imposed, isser, so to speak. I shouldn't say that. According to one approach, there was no isser here. So why did he stop? Why can he stop? He stopped living with them. So one approach in Chazal is that he did this as a form of kapara. Why? Because of Bathsheba. Because of his sin with Bathsheba. And Bathsheba was a woman who was kind of usher to him, right? She was really married. Again, you know, we learned that he did it maybe in a way where she was an usher and he followed all the protocol and whatever that she had to get, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe he didn't violate any letter of the law. But certainly in the spirit of the law, she was usher to him, and he succumbed to his Yetzer Hara, and he slept with her. So here, he kind of punished himself, and this was an atonement for his own sin, by saying that these women, who were mutaros to him, he was permitted to be with them. He wouldn't. He would abstain as a way of atoning for his sin with Bathsheba. That's one possibility. I mean, but again, you know, he's married to her now. I mean, the problem was what happened originally, right? Staying married to Bathsheba is not a problem. The problem was what happened. So distancing himself from Bathsheba, would that atone? I don't know. The second approach is that maybe they really were prohibited to do. Why? So he suggests, this other approach in Chazal suggests that once someone who is what we call a hedyot, a simple person, a regular person, sleeps with the pilegesh of the king, that pilegesh becomes usher now to the king. Usher to the king, right? And it the Rishon brings a mashal that if you have the if you have a simple person and the king, you know, it's a mashal. If the king uses a kli of a simple person, right? So then that simple person can't use that kli anymore because the king used it. It's now like something royal. It takes on a royal status. Kavachomer, the opposite. That if the king has something and it's used by a regular person, it kind of lowers the status of that thing, and therefore the king can no longer use it. So that's the mashal, the nimshal, is that here, these were the pilakshim of the king. That's a certain status. Now the Avshalom, who was a regular person, he was not the king, slept with them. That lowers their status. Now the king can't go back and sleep with these women, right? Because they're of a lower status. They're not befitting the king any longer. Similar to a Kohen. Right, similar to a Kohen. Now, the Malbim says, why did he do this? Why was this the first? This was the first thing he did when he got back to Yerushalayim. You know, I don't know, make a party, you know, Chanukah Sabayis. The first thing he does is take these pilakshim and basically lock them away. You know, again, providing for them and not, you know, not belittling them. But, you know, that's the first thing he does. So the Malbim says, yes, this was the first thing he did. Why? Because he wanted to send a message that Avshalom was a nobody. He wasn't the king. He thought he was the king. People followed him like the king. He wasn't the king. He was a nobody. And therefore, if a nobody sleeps with the pilakshim of the king can no longer be with those pilakshim. This was a strategic message he was sending, right? That Avshalom was a nobody. And anyone else who dares to rebel against the king will be treated as such, will be treated as a nobody, as just a rebel, a traitor, and that's how we're going to deal with them. Now, this set the stage for Sheva ben Bichri, right? But that's David's message when he first comes back. Basically, don't mess with the king, right? That's his message going forward. No, but people knew about what happened. Now, Shalom didn't hide this, right?
People knew that Shalom slept
naked. Right.
And he makes them guarding the palace.
He takes them all away and he locks them up in a different place. Everybody sees what's going on. Okay. He takes them out of the palace and he puts them in this base mishmeres. So everyone, what's going on? Why is this? Why is the moving van here? And all these ladies are getting moved out into a different house. Okay.
Like his sons.
It was his son. He was sad that he died. He was regarding the king, he was a nobody. Don't think that he was the king or had any type of malucha or malchus to it, right? Regarding the royal... Correct. Okay. Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer HaMelech el Amasa. David HaMelech turns to Amasa. Remember Amasa from last parak? David went to him and not to Yoav. David was upset that Yoav had killed Avshalom. So he went to him and he said, hey, maybe you'll be my general. So comes David to Amasa, and he says to him, Hazikli Asish Yehuda Shloshes Yamin Viata Po Amo. He says, I'm giving you 3 days. Muster the troops. Get all the people from Shevet Binyamin. We're going after the Hashem. We're not going to sit here, right? And let him just rebel, right? So I'm giving you 3 days. Gather all the troops that you can from Shevet Yehuda because those are the people that are really loyal to me. Gather the troops on day three. Excuse me. You come here with the troops. And we're going out to battle. Now, he's going to Amasa. He's not going to Yoav, even though Yoav was the general. Because again, he wants to replace Yoav. He hasn't done it officially yet, but he's doing it around to Amasa first. Now, Yoav finds out about this, and you can imagine he's not very happy. Pasuk Hey, Vayelech Amasa Lahazik Es Yehuda. Amasa goes, he does his mission, he goes to gather the troops from Shevet Yehuda. One little problem, Vayocher min hamoed asher ya'odim. He delayed. On day three, David comes out. Amasa is nowhere to be found. He's looking. Amasa doesn't show up. Amasa is supposed to be here. Day three, that's what David told him. Right? David said, Viata po amod. On day three, I want you here. Amasa doesn't show. He's a no-show. Now, when he doesn't return, so David needs plan B. Right? His general's not here. His army's not here. What's he going to do? Pasuk Vav. So David turns to Avishai ben Tsruya. Ata yeira lanu Sheva ben Bichri min Avshalom. He says, now Sheva ben Bichri, he might be causing us more problems than Avshalom even did. right? He might be causing us more problems than Avshalom. Ata, Avdei Adonecha, Uradof Acharov. You now take the servants of your master. There's a question in the Mefarshim, who's Adonecha here? Is Adonecha your master, meaning me? Right? And just take, you know, the servants, whoever you... Adonecha, referring to Yoav. Some say Adonecha is referring to Yoav, and because Yoav was more chashuv, so therefore he calls him Adonecha. Some say that. But either way, he tells him, take Adonai Avdei Adonecha. Now here again, it's whoever's here. We don't have time. I also went to searching. I don't know where he went for the last 3 days. He's searching. Just take whoever you can find, whoever's here, and let's go Uradof Acharov. Let's go chase Sheva ben Bichri. Why? Pen Matzalo Arim Bitzuros Vehitzil Einenu. Because in a hurry, he might find fortified cities. And what's going to happen if he finds fortified cities? Vehitzil Einenu. Now, Vehitzil Einenu is a strange term. It means, strange phrase. It means he'll save our eyes. What does that mean? He'll save our eyes. So it's a question exactly what he means by this. Some say he means that he'll save himself from our eyes. Right? Meaning if he finds a fortified city, he's going to hide out in there and he's going to be protected. And then we're not going to be able to catch him. We're not going to be able to find him. Right? So that's one approach. Some say he meant Einenu means our knowledge. Vehitzel Einenu means he'll save our knowledge, meaning we won't know where he is. Right now, we kind of, you know, we can locate him. If we wait any longer, he might slink away. We won't locate him. Or the Radak also quotes an interpretation that maybe Hitzil Einenu means like our vision, that he's going to take our vision. Our vision is that I'm going to go back to the throne, right? Finally, Avshalom is done. I'm ascending to the throne. I'm going to be the king. But now, if he has time to convince people, then maybe it won't happen. Maybe our vision won't happen. So David is concerned. He wants to hurry. He tells Avishai, let's go. Take whoever you can find, Avdei Adonecha, and go, please, and chase Sheva ben Bichri.
Why does it take care of Avshalom and previously
Pesukim
with... No, why does it say his name here, and it doesn't say when introducing him in the beginning of the paragraph? You know,
about it. No. No. Ata Yeira Lanu Sheva ben Bichri min Avshalom. Sheva ben Bichri might be worse for us than Avshalom. Yeah. So he was saying that we potentially have a larger problem here on our hands. Now, why was it a larger problem? That's a good question. It's not clear. The Mefarshim that I still don't address it. Why exactly was he concerned that this would be a bigger problem? I'm not sure. Maybe because the people so quickly defected, you know, away from David and joined his ranks. Not sure. I'm not sure about that. Is he worried about a muscle joining him? I don't think so. I mean, you're right. So he doesn't know where he is, but I don't know. I haven't seen anything like that. He was concerned. Maybe I must have switched, you know, camps. I don't know. Okay, Pasuk Zayin. Vayetsu Acharav Anshe Yoav. Now, so the men of Yoav go out after him, meaning they follow Avishai. Right? They follow Avishai. Vakresi Vaplesi, and we'll see what that is in a moment. The Chola Giborim and all the mighty soldiers, Vayetsu Yerushalayim Acharei Sheva ben Bichri, and they all to chase and to fight against Sheva ben Bichri. Now again, says the Malbim, this is just whoever was there, right? It's the people of Yoav. They were the ones who were around. So he just grabbed them and he said, guys, let's go. The king wants us to fight against to chase Sheva ben Bichri. These were Giborim. They said, sure, right? We're in for a good fight. And they jumped in and they went to join him. Now, what's the crazy and the placey? So the Radak says, oh, I already told you what the crazy and the placey are. Urim v'tumim, right. So I had to look back where the Radak said that. So it turns out back in Perek Ches, I didn't remember it offhand, but back in Perek Ches, the Radak explains the crazy and the placey. He gives three interpretations. What were the crazy and the placey? One is the Urim v'tumim. So this would mean that they took the Urim v'tumim with them right, when they went out to battle. The other interpretation is that crazy and placey refers to soldiers, archers, and slingshot people, whatever you call those people, right? So these were two different groups of soldiers. And the third interpretation is that these were two families, crazy in the place, there were two families that were very loyal to David. So they were two families that were always jumping in to help David, to save David, to protect David, to fight for David. Okay, either way, they join in. Correct. We'll see that right in this pasuk. Here we go. What? He is slighted. Who? Yeah. Okay. True, right? It does show David's emunah and Hashem. Now you're saying that shows David's emunah and Hashem. It doesn't matter who's fighting, right? If I'm fighting a holy battle and Hashem's on my side, so whether Amasa's my general, Yoav's my general, Avishai's my general, whoever it is, right? We'll be victorious. Yeah. Pasuk Ches. Heim im ha'en ha'asher be'givon. So we describe where we are right now. Apparently in Givon there was this large stone, and that's where these soldiers were at. Va'amasa Amasa now comes before them, right? Golol Amasa. He never showed up with David. He's out in the field somewhere. Now, the explain kind of bumped into Amasa. This wasn't an intentional meeting, right? Amasa was out in the field. Maybe he was still getting people. Maybe he was just organizing himself, and they bumped into him. You know, these soldiers bumped into him on the field. Now, Yoav is literally wearing his uniform. He's wearing his uniform. Now, the Malbim says that this wasn't a regular uniform. This was a special uniform, which shows that Yoav was officially still the general. A different uniform. Yoav was still wearing his special general's uniform. He was still officially the general. Even though David's been going behind his back, right, and appointing Amasa to different missions and now Avishai to different missions, okay? But at the end of the day, Yoav is still a general, and he's still wearing his general's uniform. Now, he's not very happy with what happened. He heard about Amasa, right? Now he sees Amasa here. He heard Avishai was then sent, was choice two, right? He wasn't even consulted, Yoav. He wasn't told anything. So he's not very happy. The Olav Chagor Cherev. So Yoav has his sword. Mitzumedes al Masnov Bisara. It's close to his loins in its sheath. V'hu yatsa vatipo. And now his sword falls down. His sword falls out. Now, what happens here? So all the Mefarshim chime in here to explain what's going on. This is deliberate. Okay, this is deliberate. There's the Malbim says that there's two ways to attach your body. Either you have a tight sheath that just covers the blade, and it's a nice and tight sheath. So then you take the handle of the sword and you stick that in your belt, and you tie that to your belt. And you want to take the sword out, you remove the sheath or pull out the sword, and then you have it. The other type of sheath is a looser sheath. It's a looser sheath. Then tie the sheath to your belt or to your loins or whatever, and then you stick the sword in there, and it's a little bit looser, but it stays in because the sheath is connected to you. That was what Yoav had. He had a loose sheath, okay? The sword was not tight in there. It was loose. It was connected to his belt, and now he bent down. Mitzudah Sava said he bent down like to fix his shoe, you know, pretending like he's tying his shoe. And he bent down, he positioned himself in a way that the sword would just slip out of the sheath. Now, why did he want this to happen? Because he didn't want to arouse Amasa's curiosity. He didn't want Amasa to be on guard, okay? This way, if his sword falls out, if he takes his sword out of the sheath, whoa, no, what's going on here? Right? It's like drawing your gun, right? He takes the sword out of the sheath. Here, if his sword falls out, oh, he dropped his sword. No one's paying any attention. Amasa's not going to pay any attention to this. So Yoav drops his sword. Now, Pasuk Tes. Vayomer Yoav la'amasa ha'shalom ata achi. So he picks his head up and he looks at Amasa. He's, Amasa, shalom aleichem, my brother. How you doing? Vatochez yad yamin Yoav b'zikan Amasa linshoklo. And I forgot one thing. the Mefarshim in the previous pasuk say, I think the Malbim said, no, sorry, the Radak says this, is that when his sword fell out, he picked it up with his left hand. Also not to arouse any suspicion, because nobody has their sword in their left hand, right? You're fighting, you put your sword, you take your sword in your right hand, your strong hand. Here, his sword fell out, he picks it up with his left hand, right? And he says, as he has his sword in his hand, he says, Amasa, nu, shalom aleichem, how you doing? And he grabs his beard and pulls him close like to kiss him. And when he does that, Yud, Pasuk Yud, Amasa lo nishmar b'cherev, asher b'yad yoav. Amasa wasn't on guard. He wasn't protecting himself from this sword that was in the hands of Yoav. Vayakehu v'el hachomesh. Yoav takes his sword and he stabs him right in the chomesh. What's the chomesh? So the Mitzudas David says the fifth rib. The fifth rib, okay. Well, the fifth rib, Mitzudas David said that's where the liver is, that's where the covet is, and the mar.
This happened before, where somebody was.
Yeah. Similar type of story. Yeah. Okay. So he stabs him in the chomesh. Vayishpoch me'av arzo, opens up his stomach and his intestines fall out. Velo shonalo, he didn't even have to hit him a second time. Shot, killing, right? Yoav just did it once, killed him, and he dies. The Yoav, the Avishayiv, acharei Sheva ben Bichri. And now, Amasa is out of the picture, and now Yoav and Avishai take chase of Sheva ben Bichri. Now, I was very curious, because the Mitzudas David says that this was the fifth rib, and that's where the liver is. So I did a little Google homework to find exactly where the liver is. You know, Mitzudas David is right. If you look, I found this website where it shows you like the liver, and it shows you the liver in the skeleton, like in the rib cage. It was very interesting. And if you count up from the bottom of the ribs, at least not the little ribs on the side, but the ribs like from the front, if you count up five ribs, that's exactly where the liver is. Right on like the left side, I think, I forget, whatever. Right side on the right side. Okay. Yeah, it's between like five and six. That was like it was between five and six. But again, so it's so it's probably between five and six is part of the liver, and then it goes up to seven. But it was very interesting. Someone says it, so he must have known. Why would he say it otherwise? How does he know? But I guess he knew. Okay, that's where he hit it. We said this last week. Amasa was a nephew. Amasa was a nephew. I don't remember. Maybe. I don't remember the connection. Yeah, he was definitely David's nephew. His mother was... Abigail? Yeah? We said that last week. Last week, his mother was Abigail, who was David's sister. I think. Yeah. Yeah. Good question. What was Yoav's justification for killing him? It's a good question. I don't know. Presumably, he was late. Right. Yeah. I don't know. Well, that's why he killed him, right? That's why he killed him. He was upset. Now, was there some justification? Generally, Yoav does have an argument, you know? he had an argument of Shalom. Maybe. I'm not sure. Okay, pause it. The Ish love, Minare Yoav. Very interesting. So there was a young fellow, soldiers of, who stood over there by Amasa's body. By Yomer, Mi Asher Chafetz B'Yoav, or Mi Asher L'Davin Achare Yoav. He says, whoever wants to follow Yoav, and whoever wants to follow David, follow Yoav. Right? And you go. They just went out. Right? Yoav and Avisha. We just read. They just went out to give chase. So go, follow them. Follow them. Don't stop. The Radak says that what have people stop? You imagine there's like hundreds of men walking now, traveling out, and they meet up with Amasa, he was killed at like the front of the line. So now Yoav and Avishai continue on. And now everybody who's passing by sees Amasa lying here in a pool of blood. What happened? You know, so there's a lot of rubbish on the road here. So there was a guy there, and he just kept telling people, keep going, keep going, keep walking. Don't stop. Don't look. You know, keep walking. Yeah.
Justification be that it's not, you know, part of the spell, because you keep saying, give
away
3 days.
And right. So that's what Mike said. It could be that they was told on that. That maybe he was married by Malchus. The king told him to show up after 3 days, and he didn't. Right? Maybe that shows that we're suspicious that he's, teaming up with Sheva ben Bichri. Could be. Okay. Pasuk Yudbeis, va'amasa misgolel badam v'socha mesila. Amasa, like a very graphic language, was like kind of rolling in his blood, like he was just lying there in a pool of blood on the street, like on the path. Listening to him. This guy's sitting there with his megaphone yelling, you know, keep walking, nothing to see here. And meanwhile, everybody's ignoring him and everybody's just milling around and looking at Amasa and asking, you know, what happened? What's going on? Why is Amasa lying here dead? So what is Amasa min ha-mesila ha-sodeh? So he takes it, he removes it from the street, and he puts it in the field. This way, people won't look. Now, what happens? People keep looking, right? Okay, so he's not on the road. It's on the side of the road. You move the car over to the shoulder. Everybody's still looking, right? So people are still looking. So what does he do? Finally, so finally, he sees everyone is still looking. Everyone's still standing there, gawking at Amasa. So he takes a beged, and he covers him. And that way people continue to walk. Plus, Kasher Hoga min Amesila Avar Kolish Achare Yoav Lirdof Achare Sheva Ben Bichri. That did the trick. Once the body was removed from the road and the body was covered, nobody saw anymore. And now all these men walking just walked right by and kept going to follow Yoav out and to chase Sheva Ben Bichri. Dalid. Vayavor b'chol shivtei Yisrael. Okay, now, vayavor, Pashup Shat, the Radak says that we're talking, Ben Bichri was vayavor b'chol shivtei Yisrael. He was on the campaign trail, and he was running around to different cities, different places, campaigning for himself and against David, Avela, Uveis Macha, b'chol Habeirim, all these places, right? To Avel, Macha, the Beirim, or the Beirim, Vayikoalu, Vayavou, Af Acharov. And everyone came with him. Now, it's interesting that Rashi is the Beirim, so Avela and Beis Macha, Avel was a place, right? Avela is two Avel, Avel was a place, Beis Macha was another place. Chola Beirim, so what are the Beirim? So, the Radak says that the Beirim refers to places in Binyamin that were in close proximity to wells. So well is a Be'er. So these were Beirim. These were places that were close to the wells. Rashi here, fascinating. Rashi on Pasuk Yedalit says, I'm not sure what these are. It's great. Rashi says, Chola Beirim, Lo Yadati Mahu. I don't know what they are. Now it's fascinating. You don't see this often, right? You do see it several times throughout Tanakh. That Rashi says this, I don't know what they are. Right? When Yehuda gave Tamar the Chosamcha Psilecha and things like that. So there Rashi also says by Gizlecha. Rashi says, I'm not sure what this means. I'm not sure what this refers to. Because Psil means a wick. What kind of wick was she giving? Some that say that he gave her like a beged, which was made of threads, and that's why it's called psilecha. But Rashi says, I'm not sure what this means. I said a couple of times that Rashi says that, I'm not sure what this means, which is amazing for two reasons. Number one, so that means that all the other times where Rashi didn't say that, he knew what everything meant, right? So that's astounding that you have the whole Tanakh, and 99.9% of the time, Rashi knows what every word refers to in Tanakh. You know, we can't say that. We could, you know, okay, we read it. We know whatever. We do the best we can. Rashi knew what every word meant, except for the handful of places where he says, lo yadati mazeh, or, you know, lo yadati mahu. That's number one. That's number one. Number two, who would write in their book, I don't know something? Right? Everybody wants to write. They want to pat themselves on the back. So everybody wants to write how great they are and all the things they do know. If they don't know something, they'll cover it up, right? And they'll just ignore it or gloss over it so that nobody notices. Here, Rashi, in his magnum opus, in his work on Tanakh, writes an incredible sign of anivus, of anava and humility, that Rashi has the ability in his work, which is being learned by thousands and millions of people throughout the generation, millions of people throughout the generations, and everybody reads this, and nobody thinks any less of him, right? He didn't have art scroll. He didn't have art scroll. Yeah. Okay. That's Pasuk Yedal. Okay, we have a few more minutes. Let's go a little further. Pasuk Tesvav. Vayavomu vayatsuru alav ba'avela. So they end up in Ovel, right? They end up in Ovel. Now, why Ovel? So the Radak says they ended up in Ovel because of the white city. If you remember, that's what David was afraid of at first, that he's going to get away and he's going to get to a fortified city. Well, that's what happened. He ended up in Ovel, which was a fortified city. That's why he ended up there. So now they come and they gather in Ovel, Beis HaMa'acha, right? And again, it sounds like it's some sort of, maybe it's two cities that were next to each other, two neighborhoods. It's called one thing, Ovel Beis HaMa'acha. So they pour, if you believe the translation here in the art school, they pour against the city, right? So they sort of a makeshift ramp against the city walls. And they put it up there until it was secure, it says here, through the inner wall. And everyone who's with Yoav, they begin demolishing the wall. Again, it's a fortified city, so they start attacking the wall. They start knocking the wall to try to fell the wall. Now, Vatikra Isha Chachama Min Ha'ir. I'm sorry. Shema Ben Bechri is inside the city.
They know.
They know he was in there. They have it. Right? So they go up against the wall and they start battering to try to break the wall then. Batikra Isha Chachama Min Ha'ir. And now a wise woman calls down from the city. It's interesting. This is something that's discussed in the Gemara. So we'll talk about this maybe more a little bit more in depth next week. We only have a couple minutes, but let's at least read the Psukim. Batikra Isha Chachama Min Ha'ir. So a wise woman calls down from the city and she says, Shimu Shimu Imru Yoav. Listen. Please tell Yoav, please say to Yoav, Kirav adhena va'adabra elecha. Come close. I have something to say to you. I have something to tell you. Fayikrav elecha. So Yoav comes close. Right? It piques his curiosity. Who's this woman? What does she have to say so much? Vatomer ha'isha ha'ata Yoav. So the woman says, are you Yoav? Vayomer ani. And he says, yeah, it's me. I'm Yoav. Vatomer. Shema divrei amosecha. And she says, listen. Listen to me, your maidservant. Vayomer shomei anochi. He says, okay, I'm listening. Vatomer lemor, and she says to say, yedabu varishona lemor. So she says, here, right? Referring to the men. Okay? They've said, they've spoken. Daber yedabru. They've spoken varishona at first to say, sha'ol yishalu be'ovel v'chein heisamu. Let them inquire about ovel, about surrendering. Let them call out to surrender, that the people of Ovel should surrender. Why? So they should make peace. Let them make peace. Emune Yisrael. Ata mevakesh lahamis ir. Ve'em b'Yisrael. It says, we're full of people that have emuna, right? We're faithful people. What do you want to do? You want to just come in and annihilate a whole city? Now remember, Sheva ben Bichri came in. Not necessarily everybody in the city agreed with him. So now you guys are going to come in, you're going to wipe out a whole city? Ir ve'ein, this, by the way, this is the source of that expression, Ir ve'ein b'Yisrael, referring to like an upstanding city in Yisrael. Lama sevala nachlas Hashem. Why are you going to swallow up the Nachla of Hashem. Okay. Should we read the next? Maybe we'll just read through the next few psukim, and then we'll
you know. One that told her,
yeah, I don't think it's the same person. I don't think we know the same person. which language is the same? Oh, Isha Chachama, you're saying. Right. I don't think it's the same. I don't think it's the same person. Yeah. I don't think it's the same person. Okay. The Vayan Yoav Ayomar, so Yoav chimes in. You know what? Let's stop here. It's 9:47. So we'll stop here for tonight. And Mitzvah Shem next week, we'll analyze this a little bit more. I'm sorry? Oh, Rosh Hashanah, Baruch Hashem. Yeah. Okay. So next week, there's no shir.